Okay, we're finally getting to the part of the Mishnah. Okay, we're going to start at Lamed Vav Amud Bet at the very bottom. About, the Mishnah said, if you're mudar hana'ah from someone, you can't get benefit from someone. So they're allowed, melamdo midrash halachot v'agado, avaloyim ledenu mikra. Okay, right? He can teach you midrash halachot v'agado, but he can't teach you mikra. Avamalamedu bana ve'epinotav mikra, but he can teach your children mikra. So now we're going to finally get to what's going on here. Because it seems very strange, which the Gemara is also going to find very strange. Yilamdenu mikra. Mikra, my time alo yilamdenu. So the Gemara is going to say, now, this is the beginning of a question already. What's the reason you can't teach someone mikra, presumably? Mishum de kamahanile, because he's benefiting you by teaching you mikra. Well, if that's the case, then midrash nami kamahanile, right? Then he should be benefiting you also from teaching you midrash. Why should there be a difference? So Amar Shmuel, b'makom shenotlim sachar al mikra ve'ein notlim sachar al midrash. It must be that the Mishnah was written in a place where people took money for teaching Torah, but they didn't take money for teaching Midrash. Okay? Midrash, by the way, doesn't mean probably the way we term Midrash. Midrash is like being Doresh the Psukim and coming to maybe halakhic conclusions or other conclusions, as opposed to more like the simple pshat of the Torah. So now the Gemara is going to ask another obvious question, which is, my paska. In other words, why would there be a place where they would dafka pay people for teaching mikra, and they wouldn't pay people for teaching midrash? So ha kamashmalan, da'afilu b'makom shenotlim sachar ala mikra, shari lemishkal, ala midrash lo shari lemishkal. So now they're saying, what's it basically teaching you? That even in a place where you can get paid for teaching mikra, now this goes back to an issue we discussed at some other point about whether you can take money for teaching Torah. Can't remember now where it came up in what context, but can you take money? So now they're going to say it's to teach you that even if you could take money for mikra, you're not allowed to take money for teaching midrash. Okay, still hasn't answered our question really, which is, what's the difference between mikra and midrash? That's what they're trying to say is, you might say, well, why would they be paying for mikra and they're not paying for midrash? So the Gemara answers, well, it's to teach you that you're not allowed to take. In other words, you're learning something extra from this mission, which is that you're not allowed to get paid for teaching midrash, but you can for mikra. And that's why, right, you can get benefit from, you can't teach him mikra because mikra is something people generally get paid to do. So if he does it for free, then you're basically getting hana'ah from him. Whereas if he's teaching you midrash, and generally people don't get paid for doing that, then he's not benefiting you at all. So now, right, because remember, if you're talking about the benefit of the mitzvah, we already said, mitzvah lav lehenot, it's new, right? It's not that, it has to be monetary benefit. So now they're obviously going to ask, so maishna midrash delo, why aren't you allowed to take sachar for teaching midrash? Dichtiv ve'uti tziva Hashem ba'etahi lelamed etchem. Okay, this is a pasuk Moshe says in the beginning of Devarim. Okay, Perek Dalet. Okay, here we'll read the whole pasuk. Ve'uti tziva Hashem ba'et ahi lelamed etchem chukim u'mishpatim la'asotchem otam ba'aretz asher atem ovrim sham lerishta. Now what are they going to learn from here? That what? Then the pasuk continues. Uchtiv, okay, this is earlier in the parak. Re'e limaditi etchem chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem. So the first pasuk says, Hashem commanded me to teach you. The second, which is actually the earlier pasuk, which is, what did he teach them? Chukim u'mishpatim. Can you see where this is going or not yet? Ma ani bechinam af atem nami bechinam. In other words, what did Moshe teach them? Chukim u'mishpatim. He didn't teach them the Torah, Mikra, right? He taught them the laws, right? The Torah is not considered a book of laws. The Torah is stories and, you know, basis of laws. But if he taught them Chukim u'mishpatim, it must be he was teaching them Midrash. So now he says, look, I didn't get paid, right? Moshe didn't get paid. If Moshe didn't get paid, then obviously, you know, you don't need to get paid. Okay, so that's what we learn it from. Since Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get paid for teaching the people, how they know he didn't get paid, I don't know, right? Right? You ever think about that? And then some people say, well, Moshe was rich. I don't know where we get that Moshe was rich. Moshe was rich and he didn't need money, so maybe there's a difference between people who need the money and aren't wealthy. Anyway, so now what do we have? So then they say, wait, but if that's the case, mikronami b'chinam. But Chukim u'mishpatim does include the Torah. Like, what are you talking about? Why are you making this distinction? So it should be that mikra also you shouldn't get paid for. So now we're going to have a machloket, very interesting machloket, as to why people who teach Torah, what they're getting paid for. So Rav Amar, Schar Shimur, babysitting. Okay, right? School is half babysitting, half education, right? Okay, so, right, like the strike this week, right? So anyway, Schar Shimur, the rabbi who teaches the kids Torah is getting paid for teaching the kids Torah, for babysitting them, basically. You pay him for the babysitting, and he teaches them the Torah also. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Schar Pisuk Ta'amim. This is interesting. So now, what is he saying? He's teaching them the Ta'amim, okay? It's unclear when we say Ta'amim. We're going to see this phrase later also, because we're going to discuss this opinion. Does it mean the Ta'amei Mikra, like the tune, or does it mean the notations, you know, the Etnachta and the Mercha Tipcha, all the Simanim that help you learn how to read the Pasuk? Or is it also the tune, or is it just the tune, or is it just that? It's not clear. But anyway, they're saying that you can get paid to do, because that's not the Torah itself. That's, you know, you could say it's a skill, right? You think about people who teach kids for bar mitzvahs, right? They get paid a lot of money to teach kids for bar mitzvahs. You're teaching someone a skill, and it's also not teaching them the Torah. Exactly.
But that, see, I thought in the beginning that maybe they should say that Mikra is learning how to read altogether, which again is methodology. As opposed
reading.
To...
If you understand Mikra as reading and not teaching the Torah itself. Right. So the point of both these, by the way, is that you're clearly teaching them the content, but the part you're getting paid for is the other aspect. Understand? In other words, you're teaching them Torah, but you're not getting paid for the actual teaching of Torah. You're getting paid for the babysitting, or you're getting paid for the Ta'amei Mikra that you're teaching them. Okay. Later, we're going to get back to their opinions. Okay. So now, Bishlama. Sorry, no.
I think it's mentally because the person who teaches someone Torah is considered their father, and you wouldn't really pay your father. Or is it too much of a stretch?
I think that's a bit of a stretch. It comes from this concept of
we learn that.
We could talk about it now. I think this
sugya
is the one.
Right? Somebody teaches your children. When you teach somebody, you're like their father, a father figure.
I guess so, but
you see it in Aram, right?
Right.
In classic Rashi.
Right. That Aram
became the other stories.
Right. I mean, the main thing, you know, it comes up in Pirkei Avot. There's all sorts of sources about it, that you're not supposed to make Torah kardom lach forbo, and you're not supposed to basically make money off of it. It's not supposed to be your job. It's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to do it for, you know, let's put it this way, like for the right reasons, right? Not for the to make money. Now, obviously, this creates a huge problem, because if people aren't going to go into chinuch if they can't get paid, because what are they going to live on? So either you're independently wealthy, and then you can manage to do it, but most people are not independently wealthy and can't do it. So there's all sorts of interesting sources that come up about this. In other words, how do you do this? And there's a Mishnah. Here, where is it? Right. In Pirkei Avot, it says, Kol hanehaneh midivrei Torah notel chayav min haolam. Okay? And then there's just a whole diyun among the Mefarshim as to what are the reasons, because clearly this all changed, and people do take money for shiurim, for teaching Torah. And there's all different reasons here given. Okay, so one is the obvious, which is you're getting schar bitul malacha. In other words, you're not getting paid for the actual teaching Torah, just like we saw with the Meshiva Veda. You get paid for the hour you spent returning the Aveda, the work you put into it, that you couldn't be working doing something else. Somebody says that, right here, I think this is in the Darkei Moshe, that the Mishnah and Avot said you can't do it a kardom lachporbo. But if you're doing it not for, and as what's kardom lachporbo, you're doing it for your own benefit, to make money. But if you're not doing it for that reason, but you're doing it lechvod Torah, then you're allowed to get paid. In other words, the whole thing is we don't want someone to go into the profession just for the money. Right, anyone who knows, right, exactly. Nowadays, clearly nobody's going into teaching for the money. But anyway, that's right, so that's his distinction. The Rama says that basically you can distinguish between, he actually says in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, according to what I see here, which is that as long as you're doing it l'chvod Torah, then it's allowed. It's using it to benefit yourself in a way that's not l'chvod Torah as a problem. There's a discussion about a Rav HaIr, can he get it? Because they say, Rav HaIr, okay, this is also quoted in the Ramah, that a Rav Ir should be able to get a hachnasa so that he doesn't have to go working and it'll be an embarrassment for him. Because again, depending on what, right, nowadays most jobs people do are not an embarrassment to them. But if you had to do like hard labor, it would be embarrassing for the Rosh Ir to do that kind of a thing, and therefore you're allowed to pay him to prevent him from that. There's also, some people say it's eight lasot lasha mefer toratecha. In other words, people weren't going into the field and they had to change things. Words, ideally, you shouldn't, but we had no choice at a certain point. No one was going into chinuch, and therefore they decided to change it, you know, and cancel this law. But anyway, it's an interesting discussion about, you know, what you're getting paid for. Is it tzchar batalah? Is it tzchar pisuk tamim? Is it babysitting? Right? And obviously, the babysitting theory would not apply if you're teaching grown-ups, right? Nobody needs to babysit grown-ups. So that would only apply to someone who's teaching children, which wasn't clear from the Mishnah. We'll see that in a minute, actually. We're going to talk about it. That's a problem. But anyway, this is a very interesting sukkah about whether you can take money for teaching or not. Tznan. Okay, so now that I say, look at our Mishnah. Lo yilamdenu mikra. So bishlama lamanda amar schar pisuk ta'amin. Hainu de lo yilamdenu. Ela lamanda amar schar shimur. Exactly what I said before, gadol bar shimur hu. In other words, we assume the Mishnah was talking about someone who's mudar hana'a from a gadol. Ma pitom, they're talking about a katan. In fact, the katan only appears later, right? So now they say, no, but katan katane. Ah, no, the Mishnah was talking about a katan when it said that you're allowed to teach in mikra. It was talking about a katan. But you have to assume the katan here had the, right, you were mudar hana'a from a katan. That's a very strange situation. And most people wouldn't say to a katan, you can't get hana'a from me. Anyway, it's a strange answer. The Gemara is going to say even more so. Iba katan ema seifa. Look at the seifa. It says, abal melamed banav mikra. Here, by the way, they quote it without the benotav. Mm-hmm. But you'll see elsewhere, they do seem to include the girls. So anyway, it says, melamed banav mikra. You can see also they would just maybe quote the beginning. And as the point is, it includes the katanim in the second part, which seems to imply the katanim are not in the first part. So now they say, lebanav mikra. Katan bar banim hu, right? Could a katan, right? The Mishnah is saying, basically, if you're mudar hana'a from someone, look back at the Mishnah. It says, aval lo yilamdenu mikra, aval melamedu et banav et benotav mikra. Who's banav and benotav? The katan, right? Yeah. A katan can't have children, okay? They don't quote this time the katana not having children, right? That she can't have kids, that we quote all the time about her. You know, katana can't possibly have children. So now the answer, chisur machaser v'hachi katan. This is how the Mishnah should read. It's missing words. Lo yilamdenu mikra b'katan. And then it adds the words, im haya gadol, right? So that that sentence is not connected to the first. But if he was a gadol, melamdo lo ulabanav mikra. Okay? So according to the one who says that it's tzchar shimur, means that if you taught adults, you wouldn't be getting paid. And therefore, the last line would say, basically, the katan was the first line, lo yilamdenu mikra. But if he's a gadol, then you're allowed to teach him and even his children. Because again, his children isn't benefiting him, it's benefiting the children. Okay? Which again is a little difficult, because what does it mean it's benefiting the children? If you're the one who has to pay for their education, then it should be benefiting you and not the children. So there's still a bit of a weakness here. Okay? Okay. Now we're going to have another question. Meitivei. Tinokot lo korim b'tchila b'shabbat, ela shonim b'rishon. Okay, children are not allowed to learn something for the first time on Shabbat. This is going to be an interesting source because no one's going to really understand what the root of this is. So, a children cannot start learning something new on Shabbat, ela shonim b'rishon, but they can do shinun, they can review something that they already learned, even if they only learned it once. That's what it means b'rishon. They can repeat it for the first time. Okay, they're allowed to go back and learn what they learned before. Bishlama lamanda amar schar pisuk ta'amim. Hainu de'en korim b'tchila b'shabbat. If you say it's schar pisuk ta'amim, then we understand why you can't do it b'tchila b'shabbat, because you're going to have to pay someone to teach them, right? And you can't pay someone on Shabbat. El lamanda amar schar shimur amai en korim b'tchila b'shabbat. V'amai shonim b'rishon, ha'ika schar shimur de Shabbat. One second. Right, sorry, this is it, right. The pisuk to amim, what's the difference between pisuk to amim, between the first,
if you say it's all Pisuk Tamim, so we understand the first time, if you're teaching someone Pisuk Tamim, the first lesson is going to be the most difficult. But the second lesson is going to be much easier. So if you're talking about the guy got reward, he got paid, his payment was for Pisuk Tamim, so then we understand you can't pay him on Shabbat, but he's not going to take for the second time, because the second time he's just reviewing. He's not charging you for that lesson. But when it comes to Schar Shimur, it's the same babysitting, whether you're learning something for the first time or you're learning something for the second time. So therefore, how could you possibly do it on Shabbat? Okay? So now they say, wait a minute. The Lit Amech, Schar Pisuk B'Shabbat Miasur. Havlahi, Vavlah Mishmashare. Wait a minute. If you're talking about Schar Pisuk, this question was premised on the fact that what? That you can't take money on Shabbat for doing something. But now they're going to say, who even said it was Asr in the first place? Like the Schar Pisuk for the first time shouldn't be Asr on Shabbat. Why? Because you can do, this stuff has a lot of really interesting basic sugyas, right? So the first one was, can you teach for money? And the second is, right, can you take money for teaching? The second is, can you get paid for something you do on Shabbat? So the Gemara is saying, of course you can get paid, derech havla'ah. What's havla'ah? You know how that works? That you pay someone, right? If you pay someone to work for you on Shabbat, they have to do something for you when it's not Shabbat. And then you pay them for the work they do when it's not Shabbat, and you include in that the payment for Shabbat. That's called havla'ah. So they say, you could do schar pisuk. The assumption is this guy's teaching your children. If this guy's teaching your children, then what? Then he's teaching your children all the time, not just on Shabbat. So you should be able to be... do havla'ah. Havla'ah means like swallow, right? It's swallowed up in the other payment. Titania, how do we know that? Hasocher et hapo'el lishmor et hatinyok. Lishmor et hapara, lishmor et hazra'in. Okay, if you hired someone to watch your kids, to watch your animal, to watch your plants, okay, interesting comparison here, on the same category. Ein notznim lo schar Shabbat. Okay, you can't get paid for doing it on Shabbat. Lefichach im avdu, okay.
If he loses the children,
exactly. Eino chayav v'achra yutan, he's not responsible, okay? Because you didn't pay him. It's shomer chinam, right? A shomer chinam doesn't get paid for, doesn't have to pay for gneva v'aveda. V'im haya sachir Shabbat, okay? Shabbat here means shavua, not Shabbat. It's very confusing. If he was a sachir for a week, sachir chodesh, he worked for you for the month. Schir Shana, he worked for you for the year, or Schir Shavua, what's Shavua?
7 years.
7 years, yafeh. Where did it come from? Male Shavua, well, right, the truth is Male Shavua is what actually does mean Shavua, really, with Leah and Rachel. But it also made a reference to the 7 years. Here we call it a Shavua. Noten lo schar Shabbat. Lefichach im avdu chayav v'achro yutan. So here you see, you can get paid if he worked for you for longer than just Shabbat, because you do have la'ah. And then, since you're getting paid, you are chayav v'achro yutan. Chani,
yeah.
Can you bring a bunch of tanachim?
Sure.
Thanks. Alakabe Shabbat, haynu tamar de'ein korim b'tchila b'Shabbat. So now they're going to say that this has absolutely nothing to do with our machloket. Why can't you read b'tchila b'Shabbat? Okay, the first time. Mishum di yafnu avat hon di yinuke lemitzvata deshabta. Okay, what this means, nobody really knows. Okay, we're going to try a few different interpretations. There's even shinuyei nirscha'ot. It's not necessarily mitzvata, it's mitzavta. Tzavta is to be together. Okay, it's unclear exactly what this is. There's even another girsa. So it seems that yifnu, there will be panui, right? That the fathers will have time to be with their children to do the mitzvah of Shabbat. We don't want the fathers, it's very interesting, spending too much time learning with their children something very difficult, because then they'll get involved in that and they'll miss out on the mitzvot of Shabbat. Okay, they won't be involved with their orchim, some people say. They won't enjoy Shabbat. They won't do the mitzvot of Shabbat, of eating. But if you're just reviewing, so that's okay.
That's interesting.
Very interesting, right?
I even know some Talmud Torahs that teach on Shabbat morning.
Ah, interesting. So there you have it. Talmud Torahs teach on Shabbat morning. Interesting.
Maybe they review.
Right, right, exactly. Chazarate. That'll really motivate all the kids to come. Oh, I can miss that.
Yeah,
thanks. Oh, okay. There's one
time
the
flugel. Yeah.
Just see more. Okay. Thanks. So some people say it's that the family won't end up being together. There was the Koran actually had a really good footnote of a whole bunch of different reasons here.
Right? They won't have time to eat their Shabbat meal in a relaxed manner, is Tosfot. Right, one is l'mitzta, which is to listen to them, and not to for the mitzvah of Shabbat, but to listen to them. Meaning that he can't be at the first time, so that the parents can have enough time to devote to their kids to actually listening to them. Right? Because if you're on Shabbat and you're busy with other things, right, which is funny, because we often find that Shabbat is the best time to learn with our kids, because there's no one's running to work or anything else, there's dafka more time. Anyway, okay, so some is also to study together, which they're only able to do if the material... Oh, here's another one. That you can only study together if the kid already knows the material. Otherwise, it's hard to study together, right? I don't know what the logic of that is. Could be, I guess, if the parent's not as knowledgeable, then maybe that's the issue. Anyway, what's clear here is that nobody really knew what this was all about, right? Originally, the Gemara thought it had to do with payment, right? Then they realize it's not payment, must have to do with something else, right? Which then they don't even, right? There's a line the Gemara says, but we don't even know what that means. And now the Gemara is going to give another option. Bibat Ema, Mishum de Bishavta Achlin Bishatin, Viyakir Alehon. Okay, what does that mean? It's heavy upon them, okay? They eat and drink a lot, and then it's heavy. Like it's, you know, you're feeling really full. And, right, Viyakar Alehon Alma, and everything becomes difficult for them. In other words, you shouldn't learn something new because it's going to be too hard for you. Do easy stuff like Chazara. Kedamar Shmuel, Shinoi Veset. Remember we saw this before? Tchilat Chole Me'ayim. You start switching things you eat, right? We saw this in the very end of Ketubot. When you start changing things you eat, all of a sudden it could cause you to get sick. Okay, so the assumption was on Shabbat they were eating a lot more than usual, which, right, we all know to be the case. Okay, except for one source I found. I think I mentioned this once before because it's one of my favorites. When we learned Sudash Lishit in Shabbat, we talked about this. The Avudraham has an opinion that the whole reason we have to eat three meals on Shabbat, which was an additional meal than they did then, was to make sure, I'm glad Shoshana remembers, was to make sure that they ate small meals on Shabbat and didn't eat too much. Because if you know you have to eat three meals, you'll
pace yourself,
and therefore you won't be so full that you won't be able to learn Torah, basically, which is exactly what... Right, this Gemara seems to go in the exact opposite direction. Okay. Now we're going to have another question. Ulamanda amar schar pisuk ta'amim. My time alo amar schar shimur. Now we're going to see why each one didn't hold by the other one. Okay, so if you say pisuk ta'amim, why don't you say schar shimur? You're not going to like this one. Kasavar banot. Okay, first of all, it's clear here. The Gemara is bringing the banot.
Yeah.
So it's clear this... aspect of the Gemara certainly had the nusach that the banot were included. Kasavar banot mi kabainan shimur. The banot need babysitting. Why? Because kol kvodat bat melech pnima. Girls don't go out, so they don't need babysitting. They're learning in the house, so you don't need the teacher to come watch them because they're in the house anyway. What do you need? You need the teacher to teach them. So if you're going to say schar shimur, it doesn't really work, and that's for the banot. And that's why they say schar pisuk tamim. So on the one hand, at least they include the girls in the fact that they need to learn Torah. On the other hand, they mention, you know, they relate to the fact that the girls didn't leave the house. That's the only interpretation I really saw. Maybe there's others about why the, you know, the obvious when I read it, I said, oh, girls don't need shimur because they're so mature and they clearly don't need anybody to watch them. They take care of themselves. Maybe you could say that. Okay. Right, boys are crazy wild running around if you want to stick with all the generalizations and girls don't need any of that. Okay, but I don't think that's what they meant here. Ulamanda amar schar shimur, my time alone amar schar pisuk tamim. So why didn't the other opinion say schar pisuk tamim? And now we're going to lead into the answer, which is going to lead into the rest of the daf, even continue on tomorrow, which is why I brought the Tanachim. Schar pisuk tam. Why didn't you say that? Kasavar pisuk tamim de oraitehu. Okay, pisuk tamim is mido oraita. Now, once you say it's mido oraita, then what happens? It comes into the same category as the chukim u'mishpatim. Right. First, we thought the Chukim Mashpatim maybe was just the Midrash and not even the Mikra. But then we said, no, it also includes the Mikra because that's part of the Chukim Mashpatim. Now, if you say that Pisuk Tamim is Midoraita, then you're going to say the Pisuk Tamim is also part of, included in the whole aspect of Torah that you're not allowed to take money for. So then you can't say Pisuk Tamim. And that's why he said Tzhar Shimur, because he believed that Tzhar Pisuk Tamim is Doraita. Now, how do you know Tzhar Pisuk Tamim is Doraita? Amarav Ika Baravin, Amarav Hananel, Amarav, my dichtiv, Vayikar Uba Sefer Torat Elohim. Okay, this is a famous pasuk in Nehemiah, Perek Chet, okay, where they took out a Sefer Torah in front of everybody. And
because I don't even remember 100% all the context there, but Nehemiah Chet, we have the Tanakhim and we have a bit of time, we can open it. Okay, look in Nehemiah Chet. Okay, Pasuk, this isn't really why I brought them, but once they're here. Pasuk Chet, right? So here, if you look in Pasuk Hey, Vayivtach Ezra HaSefer Leinei Kol Ha'am, Ki Me'al Kol Ha'am Haya, Ukipitcho Amdu Kol Ha'am. So he opens the book in front of everybody. Vayivarech Ezra Tashem Elokim HaGadol, Vayinu Kol Ha'am Amen Amen, Pemol Yidehem Vayivdu Vayishtachu LaShem Apayim Artsa. Okay, and then it's a list of all these people who are Mivinim Et Ha'am LaToha, Va'am Alamdam. Okay, there were all these people who were teaching them. Vayikru'u BaSefer B'Torat Elohim. Okay, now here come the complicated words that are darshaned a bunch of times in the Gemara. Miforash v'som sechel v'yavinu b'mikra. Okay, what that means is very unclear. So what did they do exactly? So now we're going to have what the Gemara thinks they did. Miforash, okay, so v'yikru b'sefer Torah Elohim, miforash v'som sechel v'yavinu b'mikra. V'yikru b'sefer Torah Elohim ze mikra. Okay, they read the Torah. Miforash. Ze tirgum, they translated it. Okay, so they read it and they translated it. Besom sechel, elu hapsukim. Okay, what does that mean? Doesn't mean they read the psukim. We already said they read the Torah, right? What do you think the psukim are? They taught them how to punctuate, right? There were no, right? You take out a sefer Torah, there's no punctuation. Okay, this is, what are they saying basically? In this time period, what did they do? They determined where the punctuation was going to be. V'yavinu b'mikra ze pisuk ta'amim. And what does it mean? They explained, right? They understood. How they understand? From the ta'amim. Okay, again, whether you say it's ta'amim mikra, the sing-song part, or whether you say it's the mercha, tipcha, etc., or, right, or whether you say it's combination, right? It's both. So now, some people say v'yavinu b'mikra.
Why could it not be the regular nikud? The most basic thing. Where else did people learn?
Ah,
how to
you're
read?
Saying the pisuk ta'amim could be nikud, right? It could be it's nikud also. I wonder if they say that. Let me just see if there's a note here about it. It's also nikud.
It's
it could
like
be.
They had, you know, the reshit nikud.
Right.
Maybe the nikud was obvious to them.
Then what's elo pisukim? How do you interpret that? You say it's nikud.
Right, so the psukim, well, the psukim, I think, are where you take a break.
But
right.
Isn't that punctuation?
But it could be, right, punctuation and, right, right, it could, right, whether, and it's unclear what this is all referring to, whether it means.
And altogether, wasn't it the goyim?
Right, because also pisuk ta'amim, right, what you're basically pointing out is if you say it's just the ta'amei mikra, that is the punctuation, basically. It's really the same thing. That's punctuation. Mm-hmm. So then you have to say, what is psukim?
Yeah.
Right. So Rashi says it's ad hecha mesayim kol pasuku pasuk. But that would also be the same with the tamei mikra, because it's sof pasuk. Unless they didn't call it necessarily sof pasuk, right? It's unclear exactly what they mean here. Right? The Ran also says, nikudonam afsikot ben pasuk la pasuk.
Maybe it's psukim is prakim and prakiot.
Which is?
Psukim is prakim and parshiot.
Uh-huh, but that's not what the Ran and Rashi say. They say it's every pasuk.
But isn't that cantillation?
No, that's what they think anyway.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
So historically, when were the psukim divided?
Right, so according to this, in the time of Ezra, they did it.
Right. Don't we believe that it's Christian?
So first of all, there's two different chalukot. If you look in here, you can look here. In the Koran, they have... Here's one version, which is the Christian version of the... But that's the Chalukah leprakim. I don't think the Chalukah leprakim was Christian. The Chalukah that we have, I think, is the Christian Chalukah.
Right.
And on the other side, there's little... Right, here's a gimel, you see that? There's different prakim, okay, which actually split up the Torah into you can learn the Torah in a year, according to that Chalukah. Okay? Yeah.
So when you say open up to parak, da, 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 what are you referring
the
to?
Christian. The Christian. That's, yeah, it's the
well,
Christian chalukah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what it is. So there's a different chalukah that's on the other side. The one that we usually use is the Christian one. Yeah, I don't remember when this was done.
Right, I don't remember when it was, but I remember. And they also have this Torah Moshe Sinai, like Kriyin Chetiv and...
Right, so we're going to talk about this right now.
Okay?
So, Okay, so according to one interpretation, the Yavinu b'mikras pisuk ta'amim, okay, which then, according to this, they're saying, if Ezra did it, they're calling this Mida Oraita. I don't know why they're calling it. I actually didn't really figure this out. Why they're calling this Mida Oraita if it's an Ezra did it. You understand? That's already... Right, he's kind of taking what was given from before. Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff like that that was Torah Moshe Mitzrayim, and then it was written down by somebody.
Right, that he's basically, the way he read it was the way it was passed down from me to Oraita, you could say, I guess. I guess that's what you'd have to say.
Is that the right word?
Right, so they're saying it was given to Moshe Mitzrayim. Right, so here, there's a note here that says, even though it was said in Ezra and it's in the Ketuvim, clearly he didn't exactly what he said. He wasn't mechadesh this, because ein nabi rasha lechadesh davar me'ata, and therefore it must be it was passed down from Moshe Mitzrayim. So that's what they're proving from here. Okay. But the other opinion, and that obviously would be the opinion of the person who thinks the Pisuk Tamim is not midoraita, and therefore Pisuk Tamim you can get paid for, Amrila Eloha Misarot. Okay, these are the misarot. Okay, we're going to talk about the misarot in a minute. Okay, what are the misarot? Amar v'yitzchak, mikras sofrim b'itur sofrim, v'karyan v'lo p'tivan, uktivan v'lo karyan, halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. Okay, so, just one second. The misarot, they say, are like the chaser, and right, like with a yud or without a yud, things like that. Okay, all these extra things. So now they're going to talk about things relating to the nusach. So, the mikras sofrim, okay, which is the how exactly to read the words. This is Naomi, what you asked about the how to read the word, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, the what's the word? The vowels. Okay. Mikras sofrim, although we're gonna explain better what this means. Itur sofrim, okay, we're gonna get into all these things. Kri v'lo k'tiv, okay, right, you read it but it's not written that way. Or k'tiv v'lo kri, it's not written but you say it. They're all halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. So now they're gonna give examples of each. What's Mikras Sofrim? Eretz, Shamayim, Mitzrayim. Okay, these are words that are... Eretz is like... I don't know if you're aware of this. Every time there's an etnachta in the Pasuk, or a Sof Pasuk, instead of saying etzereh, like Eretz, you say Aretz.
Patah.
Okay, it's patah, because it makes the word longer. Okay? And Shamayim...
And all im.
Also... Shamayim has a they switch it from a patach to a kamatz, and Mitzrayim has a patach under the resh, and they make it a kamatz to make it. The assumption was that the kamatz was right. We to us kamatz and patach are exactly the same, but in those days there was a bit of a difference. So we understand much better changing from a tzereh to a patach to a kamatz. It makes it longer. But even Shamayim and Mitzrayim. In certain places, right, again, when they're at the end of a word, end of a pasuk, or the end of a, by the anachta, then they make them longer, okay?
So you change it from a patach to a kamatz?
Exactly, to make it a longer sound, basically, to make it sound better.
What difference from the Sorot and Torah Mishum Sinai?
No difference. No, they're just saying, no, the Misorot... What's Misarot? Misarot, they say, are the chaser and yater, like things that are, whether you have a yud or you don't have a yud, or whether you have a vav or you don't have a vav. That's the Misarot. That's the way they explain it there. I want to see if they explain the same thing here.
Oh, I thought the guy who said it was Misarot was saying that's when it's not do raista.
No.
No. It's just defining.
Okay, what does he say? Yavinu b'mikra. Okay, what's Yavinu b'mikra? What did Ezra teach them? Did he teach them Pisuk ta'amim? Or did he teach them the Misarot? Okay? Now the Misarot, so interesting. The Misarot could either be the Chaser and Yater, like whether you have a Yud or a Vav or that. And here there's a different interpretation that it's how to, the proper vocalization of the Bible, which also might mean the punctuation and not the punctuation, the Nikud. Could be the Nikud.
Except that there are many words, those exceptions to the rule where you read something. Read it differently than as it's written. They have the word in parentheses.
Right. So that's also. So here, the minion says the word is read differently. Right. So it could be the Misarot here could also be relating to the Kriyuchtiv and things like that.
I don't know why they're even questioning, because it's known that Ezra, like there were things that were forgotten and that Ezra remembered.
Yes, and he redid.
So it could be both together.
It could be all of them, but right. But the whole point is, there was one guy who said the Pisuk Tamim is a Midoraita, so he clearly claims that this was a Pisuk Tamim, it was something else. Understand? That's the that's how you have to read it. Right. Right. I mean, you have to remember, that's not why the Gemara is bringing this. The Gemara was just bringing this to say, where do we know it's Doraita? And they were bringing it to show us this opinion. But clearly, you'd have to say the person who holds Pisuk Tamim is not Doraita would have to hold the Pisuk Tamim is Misarot, which again is unclear exactly what Misarot are. But Misarot about how to read the text, about, you know, something relating, but not specifically Pisuk Tamim. Okay, so now we're going to have a bunch of other things. That so the Mikra Sofrim, we
so
said.
All these things are Misarot, the things we're going to
read. So that's a good question. I don't think it relates specifically to Misarot. They're just saying these are things that were passed down from Moshe Messina, which you could call Misarot. This term Misarot is not clear if that is relating to this. I don't think they're connected.
So it's a related statement. It doesn't really.
Right, exactly. It's just kind of bringing up more things about Misarot having to do with the text. So, now they're going to talk about, so we had the Mikra Sofrim, now we're going to talk about Itur Sofrim. Itur Sofrim, there's many different opinions about what exactly this is. The basic interpretation is that we're talking about making the text sound better, okay? We're adding a word to kind of lengthen it, make it sound more sing-songy somehow. Right, too bad Michael's not in shir today, he'd appreciate all this stuff. Right, with all the Tamei Mikra stuff.
Oh,
he loves laning. He's like all into the... so, Itur Sofrim, Achar Te'avoru, Achar Te'lech, Achar Te'asef. Okay, if you want to, this is why I had the Tanachim. You can bring them and look them up inside. Or again, some of these appear on the side. Soon, I really want you to open the Tanachim because we'll see like the Kri of Ketiv and Ketiv Kri. You can't see from just seeing the Pasuk here. But here, this is in Breshit Yuchet, Ve'cha Pa'lechem V'sadu Lipchem, Achar Te'avoru. Okay? It could have just said, V'sadu Lipchem V'tavoru. Okay? But it added the word, Achar Te'avoru. And then you'll go, right? It kind of adds another word. Okay? Or, V'yomer Achia V'amia, Teshev Na'ara Itanu Yamimo Asur. Remember in Breshit Kavdala with Eliezer, or the Eved, going to find a wife for Yitzchak. So he said, no, let her stay with us, Yamimo Asur. Achar Te'lech. Right? So it could have just said, V'telech. So it added these words. Okay, we're not going to read every single pasuk. This is the Mesoret. In other words, we had Halacha Moshe Sinai. Is that there were things that the Torah added, and as the Torah they were added into the Torah. It's not that the Torah, right? According to the way we're reading this text, it's not the Torah. Someone later added it. It's that the Torah had these words added for Itur Sof. Right? It was a way of making it sound better. Although you're right, it's not exactly clear what this means. Were there Sofrim that added this? Right? It's a little unclear. Okay, achar te'asef, okay, kidmu sarim achar nognim. And then there's one that's a little different, which is tzidkatcha kehararei el. We say this every mincha in Shabbat, right? There's those three psukim you say of tachanun. So what's the itur sofrim here? So again, it's not clear. Maybe itur sofrim doesn't exactly mean ornamentations like la'ater. It could mean encirclement or revolution. Okay, it could mean elimination. Okay, that there were words that were eliminated that they kind of added so that they wouldn't be eliminated. Kahare el, they say, it could have been written as kahare el tzidkatecha, and that basically they changed the order of the words. Some people say that it could have just said tzidkatecha harare el, your tzedek is harare el, and it added the ke, even though that's hard to understand because it... What do you mean? There is no Harare El, right? They're like the mountains of God. That's what it means. It's hard to say it without it. But anyway, that's one explanation. You see, they were clearly a little struggling with it. And one said, there was one, the other one I saw that I liked, which is, one second. Right. The Ran says that there's a stop after the words Harare. It says, Sikacha ke Harare, psik, God. Okay? Your tzedek is like, one second, I'm not explaining well, one second. Meaning is your righteousness is like the mountains, God. Like, in other words, God's righteousness is like the mountains. Right, so anyway, it's some sort of way of, you know, changing this pasuk a little bit to, but again, like most of the basic mafreshim say, it's to make it sound nicer, and then in tzikacha kare el is a little tricky what exactly it's doing there. Okay, kare velo ktivan. Okay, so let's start looking inside. We have... Pasuk in Shmuel Bet, Perek Chet, Pasuk Gimel. Is that right? Oh, here. Vayach David Hadad Ezer, Ben Rechov, Melech Tzava, Belechto Lashiv Yado, Benahar. with a dash.
Yes.
And then there's nothing there. And if you look at the side, it tells you prat. Okay? So that's a case of a kri v'loch tivan. Okay? It's not there at all. Or ish. Okay? Imperat in Shmuel Bet, Pasper Tetzayin, Pasuk Kav Gimel. Again, there's a dash, and there's no word there. Okay, bidvar Elohim, ken kol atzat hachi tova gam leDavid gam leAvshalom. Okay, so that word's missing. Okay, ba'im dinivneta la depleta. So they say it was a masoret. It was a masoret, basically. Okay, et tehaged hugad elai tehagoren. Right, everyone remembers that one. Right, with root. Mm-hmm. Right, remember? Let's read the whole pasuk. Batomer ela kol asher tomri elai e'ese. Okay, but it doesn't say elai. It just says kol asher tomri e'ese. Okay? Elai de hasorim. Okay? Also in root, it comes up. There's a word missing. Okay? Halein kriyan v'loch ktavan. Okay? Those are all cases of kri v'loch tiv. And now we're going to talk about ktavan v'loch kriyan. Okay? Nad yislach. Zot ha mitzvah yidroch dehadorech, I assume it means chamesh depeah negev im dechi goel halen ktavan below kriyan. Okay, we can look up any one of them. I don't know which one. We'll start with the first one. Okay, yud dalet is melachim bet perakei pasuk yudche. Okay, I mean we're all familiar with having noticed these, so it's not like we necessarily have to see them inside. But anyway, it's interesting to look at. So. If you look at Malachim Bet Perek Hay, Suk Yud Chet. Okay, this is with remember Naaman. He has Sarad, and he goes to Elisha, and Elisha cures him, and he says, "I want to be Jewish. You know, I kind of want to come every year." But he says, "There's one thing, right? L'davar zeh yislach Hashem l'avdecha bevo Adoni Beit Rimon l'shtachavot shama v'hu nish'an al yadi v'shtachaveti Beit Rimon." So
we don't read the
right. So we don't right. It's kri v'lo ktiv, and we don't read it. Ktavan v'lo kriyan. I guess we don't read the word na. Okay. So yislach Hashem l'avdecha v'davar hazeh. Which is interesting, right? Maybe they didn't want him saying the word na there. Like I don't know why that's not there. Zot ha-mitzvah. Okay, we'll look up that one also. Zot ha-mitzvah v'chukim. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
to be Yirmiyahu, it says?
It's Dvarim
Vav.
What?
Dvarim Vav Pasuk Aleph, no?
Yirmiyahu.
It's interesting. So the Torah Or says it's in Dvarim, but Rashi says Ketuv be Yirmiyahu. Right, there's a machloket where this pasuk appears. Look at the Ran. The Ran says, "Beseder ve'et Hanan, kach matzati katuv lo nimtza b'sfarim shelanu." That's so interesting. And he catches before. And Rashi says, "It's katuv b'Yirmiyahu," and it's a pasuk. If you look, there's a little aleph in Rashi there, and if you look at the aleph, it sends you to Hagahot Mahari Landa, and he says, "Katuv b'Yirmiyahu lamidchet tetzayin." So let's look there. Yirmiyahu lamidchet tetzayin. That's weird. There's no word zot there. Maybe that's why. Vayim b'perash haran im
v'chi go'el. It's the first word.
Lamed chet
tzayin.
Oh, where? Am I in the wrong place? Yirmiyahu v'yishava melech.
Where are you looking, Yirmiyahu?
Tzidkiyo elmir v'sedo l'mor chai Hashem et asher asa lanu et hanefesh hazot.
Ah, hazot. There it is. Okay. Got it. So that word hazot, I guess. But there's no, what's interesting is in our Tanakhim, this is what you're noticing, there's no siman for the ktiv v'lo kri.
Right?
There's no siman for them. It's very interesting. You wouldn't know if you, right? Like you look, how would you know that we don't say it? Interesting. Right, so here in the Quran they say, early commentaries note, there's no word in this verse that is written and not read. Very reading et ha-mitzvah. Ah, some people say it's et ha-mitzvah, not zot ha-mitzvah. And then some people say it's this pasuk. Okay. So anyway, these are the kri v'loch tivan. And then Amrav Acha Bar Ada b'Ma'arav Paskin Lahadim Psuka L'Taltam Psukim. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Hinei Anochi Ba'elecha Ba'av Ha'anan. Okay, that there's this pasuk was split up into three different pasukim. Okay, which is the whole and right that which is one second. Let's just read the pasuk Yutet Tet. Okay, and then we'll see that and what that will end. Okay, Shmot Yutet Tet. Hinei Anochi Ba'elecha Ba'av Ha'anan Ba'avur Yishma Ha'am B'Dabri Imach V'Gam B'Cha Yaminu La'Olam V'Yagav Moshe Divrei Am El Hashem. You can see it's like a long run-on sentence.
Right.
So in Eretz Yisrael they would split that up into three. Okay, it would be three separate psukim. So it's a different. Right, what's very interesting about today's class is you see that there were all different misorot about things that were written and shouldn't be read, and things that were read but shouldn't be written, and things how to separate the psukim. And even though we say this is all halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, right? It was given to Moshe right? There's obviously different mesorot that different people had about whether it's like this or whether it's like that.
Okay.
So
no major differences where there would be like a controversy or a machloket.
I'm sure there were machlokot about certain of these things. I mean, again, whether they're critical to our belief in, you know, about what it says in the Torah, probably not. But there were machlokot about these things. I mean, and you look into Keter Arm Tzova, right, which is a whole different text that we have at the Torah. I mean, not whole different, but there's minor variations among, you know, relating to some of these things also. So anyway, it's interesting.
Applications like the Amon and Moab. The Torah Moshe Mitzrayim is due to Ammon and Moab and Ammoviah.
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
A really halakhic.
You're saying, right, Ammonit v'lo Moabit. But that's nobody says it's not, that it says, they're darshaning Ammoni v'lo Ammonit, but it's not a difference in the text.
No, I know, but if you didn't have that Torah Moshe Mitzrayim, you would think Ammon is the nation of Ammon. You wouldn't differentiate between man
but,
and female.
Right, but that's already like Torah Shabbat Peh. That's already how we interpret. That's already an interpretation. Here we're talking about actually the text itself. Like
but
Nusach issues. That's not a Nusach
issue.
Uh-huh.
Nusach
issue. Uh-huh. That's a Nusach issue?
That is a Torah Moshe Mitzrayim Nusach issue, and that's why Boaz was able to do what he did.
Uh-huh.
That he wasn't
because it was interesting.
That's
I forget if there's something about that. Maybe. Okay, well,
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, there's no class tomorrow. Anyone listening online? Back on Thursday.